Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the moral test of salvation. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 again together. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Now, on the last broadcast, we were looking very closely at John's example of what true salvation really is by examining verses 4 and 5. So let's read those verses again together. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Now, as I mentioned last time, John was not simply engaging in name-calling here in verse 4 when he writes that anyone who says that they are saved and yet does not keep God's commandments is a liar. In verse 4, John uses the Greek word, which has a very distinct meaning. This word that was translated into English as liar cannot be looked at as simply as being the opposite of truth. This word carries with it a very distinct theological meaning that we need to understand. A lie, as defined by John using this word, is also not simply an error. But this particular Greek word shows us that what John is talking about here is a willful act of deception and a concerted and deliberate act to contest or challenge that which is true. In other words, John is saying that these people are not simply misinformed, nor is John saying that these people are sincere but off base. No, because John used this particular Greek word, he is saying here that those who say they are saved and yet are not keeping God's commandments, that these people are doing so for the express purpose of deceiving other people and to redefine what it means to actually know Jesus Christ. So once again, John is showing us how diligently that he fought against the Greek philosophers and the Gnostic mystics of his day who were trying their hardest to infiltrate the Christian church and change the gospel. So John used the exact same word that Jesus used to describe none other than Satan himself. Let's read John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Now, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies, and that means that all lies come from the loins of Satan, and they originate from him. Now, I realize that many people who say they are saved and are really not saved are not doing what John referred to here. But most people today who say they are saved are simply deceived. But the people to whom John is referring are not deceived. They are apostate. They are not deceived. They are deceivers. These are evil men who understand exactly what they are doing, and they desire to fight against God. That's what John's talking about here. This is a level of evil that very few people are willing to dwell on. Look at how Jude referred to these same people in Jude verse 4. "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, notice that Jude says that these are certain men, specific men, people whom God has ordained to condemnation. These are the heretics, the apostates, those certain people of history who sneak into the church for the sole purpose of destroying it. These are not sincere people who were simply misguided. No, the Bible declares that God has ordained these people to condemnation, that they cannot be saved. They are not savable people. Now, many will cringe at what I just said because that statement does not seem to match up with what they've been taught about Jesus. Most people believe that everybody and anybody has a chance to be saved and that it is simply their own fault if they remain lost. Most people have been taught that Jesus would never exclude anybody from the chance of salvation. And I acknowledge that that is what is currently being taught, and this is something that gives us all great comfort, but the problem with that teaching is that it's simply not what the Word of God teaches. Now, I realize that what I'm saying is highly unpopular, but I didn't write the Bible, beloved. I am simply bound to teach what God's Word says, and God says very clearly in His Word that not everybody is going to be saved. Some people are lost, and they're going to stay lost no matter what you tell them, no matter what information you place before their eyes and ears. The Bible says here in verse 4 of Jude and elsewhere that there are certain ungodly people who creep into the church while the leadership is asleep at the wheel, and these people come for one purpose, to distort and corrupt three aspects of truth: the grace of God, the character and nature of God the Father, and the person of Jesus Christ. Jude goes on to describe these people in great detail over the next 15 verses of his epistle. And I spent over a year teaching about Jude, and I'm not going to rehash that teaching today, but read Jude. And if you can, get a copy of my teaching and see for yourself that these particular people that Jude is talking about in his epistle will not and cannot be saved. Now, before you think I'm just a hard man, I want you to know that I'm not a hard man. I struggle over these verses just like you do. But we cannot and we must not change the Word of God, beloved, simply because that which God has said makes us uncomfortable. We must not put our own private interpretation upon verses of Scripture simply because it violates some of our own human sensibilities. If you believe that God's Word is inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, and relevant as I do, then it really doesn't matter whether or not God's Word suits our human sense of fairness or our own carnal and natural understanding. God has said exactly what God meant to say, and it is our duty to study what God said and preach that and love that and believe that, not to change it to suit ourselves. And I will repeat what I just said. These people to whom Jude and John are referring, who creep into the church in order to pervert the right way of the Lord, are going to be judged severely by God, and they will never be saved. And since salvation is a sovereign work of God alone, then that is God's business and not ours. You and I are not given the authority to determine who will be saved and who will not be saved. We are commanded to preach and work and struggle and love everybody, and God is the only one who does the saving. Now, I also realize that some of you will simply say that Brother Blair is just misinterpreting this passage. Maybe so. But if I am, then I am in real good company. Because the fact of the matter is that every major hero of the 2,000-year history of the church said the very same thing that I just said about this verse. Polycarp, Clement, Justin Martyr, Ignatius, Tertullian, John Chrysostom, Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon wrote down extensive commentaries about this verse here in 1 John and also over in Jude, and you need to read what these men said to see for yourself whether I'm preaching the truth or not. The point that I'm making here, dear friends, is that the people whom John says are lying in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, are not simply telling a story to make themselves look good. No, John is using this particular word on purpose to distinguish in our hearts and minds between true believers and those who seek to alter what Christianity is. As I've told you on several previous broadcasts, John, Peter, and Paul were all loving and kind men who would work all day long with sinners and the worst people in their society, But these same loving and merciful men turned into pit bulls when it came to somebody monkeying around with the gospel or towards somebody who sought to sneak into the church to pervert the truth. Listen to how Paul pronounced an apostolic damnation upon these people in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." And in case you missed what he said, Paul repeated this statement in the next verse. Consider also what Peter said about these same heretics in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." Let's remember the words of the Apostle of Love, John, as he instructed those in the church how they should treat these heretics in 2 John verses 10 and 11. "If anybody comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." So here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, John is telling us that these people do not have the truth of the gospel in them, and that they are liars. And they are liars in the sense that they have gone way beyond just telling stories. But these people, probably the Greek philosophers and Gnostic mystics of his day, were evil men who were not seeking salvation at all. But they were trying to come into the church to destroy Christianity, and that God's people needed to wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that the truth is precious, and that which God has placed into our hands must be guarded and defended and studied and taught and learned and believed on and proclaimed and loved and preserved and obeyed, so that we may be found faithful to our wonderful Savior who has saved our wretched souls and brought us into His glorious kingdom. John is saying that those who are saved serve God, and those who are trying to destroy the faith are liars, and the truth is not in them. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.